This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed, 60 minutes of old-time radio crime brought to you every Wednesday by RelicRadio.com. We'll hear first this week from Richard Diamond, Private Detective. This episode from January 18th, 1952, titled The Simpson Case. After that, it's The Lineup and The Topaz Earring Case. Their episode from November 23rd, 1950.
The makers of Camel cigarettes present Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Why are Camels by far America's most popular cigarette?
Two of the reasons are flavor and mildness. No other cigarette has Camel's rich, full flavor.
And no other cigarette offers this proof of mildness. In a coast-to-coast test of hundreds of people with normal throats, noted throat specialists reported not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels.
Try Camels yourself. Then you'll know why Camel leads all other brands by billions of cigarettes per year.
Here transcribed is Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Diamond Detective Agency, we make crime pay for $100 a day.
Hi.
Plus expenses. Hi, Helen.
I'd like to hire you.
No cut rates for attractive redheads.
But I'm a working girl. I only make $12.40 a week.
Doing what?
Running an elevator in the automat.
My dear girl, there are no elevators in the automat.
Oh, no wonder they wouldn't give me a raise.
Oh, that's funny.
I want to hire you to protect me from a man. He's been bothering me.
And just who is this man?
His name's Richard Diamond.
Well, no wonder he's been bothering you. You've been bothering him.
Will you take my case?
Just as far as my apartment. We'll open it up and have a party.
Oh, you're ridiculous.
Only when I try hard.
I miss you.
I saw you last night. You're just bored.
Uh-huh. And I miss you. I'm lonesome.
I'm broke. I gotta hang around and pray for a client.
Well, I've got a wonderful suggestion. Why don't you come
over?
What?
Mr. Diamond?
Why, yes. Come in.
Rick, who is it?
I don't know, but I'm making plans for some extensive research.
I didn't mean to disturb you.
I don't know how you could help it.
Rick, who is that?
I'll call you back when I find out.
That's a girl.
It certainly is.
Rick!
Bye.
Now, Rick, you...
Your girl?
Hmm?
On the phone.
Just an old wealthy aunt. She's leaving me her lumber fortune.
Oh, nice.
Yes, sit down. Sit down, Miss...
Simpson. Mrs.
Oh. Yeah.
So you have an aunt in lumber.
Oh, yes, yes. Broke one day, made a million the next. Discovered trees on her property. Trees on her property. Well, what are you going to do?
I came in to hire you, Mr. Diamond.
You have a kind heart and plenty of money, I hope.
My husband needs protection.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon?
Nothing, nothing. Just snapping at judgments. Occupational hazard.
My husband is John Simpson. Perhaps you've heard of him.
The John Simpson?
Yes.
No.
He's retired. He discovered oil on his property.
Oh, that one. Oh, sure. He was responsible for my bearings burning out at 700,000 miles.
He was walking in the garden the other day.
Going to drill in a daisy bed?
Someone shot at him.
Oh.
He's all right. They didn't hit him. But I've been terribly worried ever since.
Not to mention how your husband feels.
He wouldn't call the police and wouldn't give me a reason.
But he wants me to protect him.
He doesn't even know I've come to see you.
Well, what's he going to say?
I'm hiring you, and I hope you'll understand.
Well, I hope so, too. I charge $100 a day in expenses.
I have my own bank account.
How nice. Diamond Detective...
Who is she?
Well, Aunt Hannah.
What?
Oh, that's nice, Aunt Hannah. I think Spruce is just the thing.
Aunt Hannah? Spruce? Richard Diamond,
of course, Aunt Hannah. I'll talk to you later.
I knew it. She's a blonde.
She sure is, Aunt Hannah. Aunt Hannah.
The one with the trees.
Thinking about buying a carload of spruce.
How nice.
Am I hired?
Of course.
Then let's get out of here. Aunt Hannah might be over with a bat.
Spruce?
Of course. Well, that's how it started. A lovely blonde named Simpson with a wealthy husband. The husband had ducked a bullet in his garden, and now the lovely blonde wanted protection for him. A few casual jokes, a fat retainer, and Richard Diamond was once more in the ranks of the employed. We left the office and climbed in a station wagon. 40 minutes later, we were pulling up in front of the Simpson house on Long Island. Ah, quite a place.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, if you like money.
John's probably in the study. May I take your hat?
Well, I'll just keep it with me. Your husband might not want a bodyguard.
Well, you're back in a hurry.
Oh, hello, Ralph. This is Mr. Diamond.
Glad to meet you, Mr. Diamond.
Hello.
Mrs. Ralph Simpson, Mr. Diamond, my stepson.
People are more inclined to think we're brother and sister.
Well, I can understand.
Ralph was the one who suggested you.
Oh, why me?
Reputation.
Looks like everyone knows about me but the man I'm supposed to protect.
And he won't like it much at first.
I've already been briefed.
But whether he understands or not, it's most necessary he has protection.
Well, let's get it over with.
Hello, dear.
What is this, a convention?
Hello, Jane.
Hello, Professor.
Who is this man, this person with the hat?
This is Mr. Diamond, John. Mr. Diamond, this is my husband, Mr. Simpson.
Yeah.
Charmed.
And this is Professor Fisher.
How do you do, Mr. Diamond?
Hello, Professor.
What do you do, young man?
Do?
Mr. Diamond is a private detective, dear.
What?
Now, dear, it was my idea.
A private detective?
Now, just relax.
Oh, go away, you quack. I've been relaxing enough. I can't think straight anymore. You've been making me relax so much.
If you're not careful...
Jane, I told you I didn't want anyone.
But after being shot at...
She pay you a retainer, Diamond?
Yeah.
Did she explain my feeling on this subject?
Well, yeah.
And you still took the money?
I've been poor.
I told every one of you I can take care of myself.
You know, I think he's right. Here's your retainer, Mr.
But, Mr.
Simpson.
Diamond, please.
Where do you think you're going?
Not to find the guy who took a shot at you and give him some target practice.
You've been paid a retainer to do a job. Now, let's see you do it.
Oh, John.
I had a feeling you were going to do something like this. Bring in a private detective or a policeman or something. Well, if he's supposed to give me protection, that's what he'll do. Now, all of you, get out of here. I want to talk to this Mr. Diamond.
Thank you, John.
I'll see you at dinner, dear.
Now, you take care of yourself, you old scoundrel.
Oh, beat it!
Goodbye, Mr. Diamond.
Nice meeting you, Professor.
Well, Mr. Diamond, I have a feeling you might regret this job.
It's possible.
I really wanted you. I was just keeping up a front for the benefit of the family.
Mm. Is Professor Fisher one of the family?
An old friend. Professor Fisher's a psychologist. After my stroke, he came to help me. He teaches me how to relax.
You had a stroke?
3 months ago. The professor has been a great help.
You have a physician also?
I don't need one. Now, as long as you're here to protect me, I might as well tell you what it's all about.
Answer me one question first.
I'll try.
Why not call in the police?
I have you. Do I need the police now?
When someone takes a shot at someone, I think the police should be the first to know about it.
Now, if you are quite done, Mr. Diamond, I'll continue.
I'm well done.
This morning, if my wife had brought you in, I would have had you thrown out. I didn't want any outsiders mixed up in this.
What changed your mind?
A letter. Here.
Mm-hmm. Typed.
Oh, read it.
All right, I will. I missed you in the garden. I won't miss again. You'll pay for Ashanti.
It's in Africa.
Oh.
20 years ago, I was in the mining business. I had a partner, Frank Victor. We didn't get along, and there was an argument one day in the mine. It was quite a scrap, and there was a cave-in. I got out. Frank didn't. There was an investigation, and I was cleared.
Why tell me?
The shooting in the garden could have been any crackpot. I didn't want any publicity, so I didn't want any outsiders. Then this letter. I have to confide in someone so they'll know who to look for.
Who else knew about it?
No one that it should make any difference to. Victor was a bachelor, without a family.
Could be blackmail. Someone who was there or at the investigation.
Then why shoot at me?
To give you a good scare. You'll probably get another letter demanding money.
This person must be caught. In my position, I can't afford the scandal.
Now, you say I'm the first one you've told. Outside of your family?
I haven't told my family a thing. Even my first wife didn't know about it.
Hmm. You've heard nothing of the incident for 20 years?
Nothing.
Well, I'll see what I can find out. I promised John Simpson my confidence. He offered me a large bonus if I should discover who had sent him the threatening letter. Then I borrowed one of his cars and drove back to the city where I looked up an old friend. Lieutenant Levinson, 5th Precinct Police Station.
Well, the smiling gumshoe.
Well, hello, happiness and light. Want to do me a favor?
Depends.
Well, if you can strain your arches, I'd like some confidential information on a few people.
What is in it for me?
I promise not to tell anyone what a mercenary policeman you are.
I'd like dinner, maybe a big steak.
You'll get dinner, maybe chow mein.
You got a deal with that restaurant?
Certainly. They saved me all the leftover fortune stuck in the cookies.
Who are you interested in?
I want to know about a young guy named Ralph Simpson, an attractive blonde named Mrs. Simpson, and a man named Professor Fisher.
Simpson, Simpson, and Fisher.
The boy named Ralph is the son of John Simpson.
No.
Yeah.
The John Simpson?
Know who he is?
No.
Well, unlike my Aunt Hannah, who discovered trees in her property...
Your Aunt Hannah?
Simpson discovered oil.
Oh, that one.
His wife is the blonde.
Which blonde?
The one I want you to check on, Mrs. Simpson.
Oh, how silly of me. I should have known.
Don't forget the professor.
I thought you said his name was Fisher.
I did.
How does he fit in with Simpson?
A friend of the family. Now you got everything?
Sure, sure. Blonde named Mrs. Simpson, a son named Ralph.
He's not her son.
Well, you just said...
He was John's son.
Who's the blonde? John's other wife? John's other wife.
That's right.
Oh.
He's her stepson.
Oh. Well, why the devil do you want me to check on these people?
I was thinking about having a bridge party.
Give me the rundown on them.
Sure. Walt.
Huh?
Put your shoes on.
Oh.
I gave Walt the rundown he wanted and headed for the newspaper where I knew I could wallow through the morgue file and not be disturbed. I went back 20 years and after wallowing for 3 or 4 hours found a small article dated Ashanti, Africa, 1930. It didn't say much more than what John Simpson had already told me. It mentioned the mine cave-in and the pending investigation on the death of Frank Victor. In an edition dated 3 weeks later, I found the account of the investigation and it verified Simpson's story. I left the newspaper and went back to my office to check on a few things. Then, as I was about to leave and close up until I'd finished the case, I got a phone call. Yeah?
Diamond?
Yeah?
This is John Simpson. I took a chance you might be in your office.
Oh, I was just coming back out there.
This is John Simpson. I took a chance you might be in your office.
Yeah, you said that.
I'd like you to pick up something for me.
Oh, sure.
It's a package. It's at a bar on 57th Street. The Blue Pheasant.
The Blue Pheasant on 57th Street.
Mr. Diamond, this is John Simpson.
Yes, I know. Anything else? Hello? Mr. Simpson.
Bring it out to me right away. It's very important.
I'll pick it up and bring it right out. Something wrong, Mr. Simpson? Hello? Hello? Funny.
Before we continue with Richard Diamond, here is an important question. What cigarette do you smoke, Doctor? That question was asked a few years ago of 113,597 doctors. The brand named most was Camel. Recently, that question was again asked of tens of thousands of doctors across the country. Doctors in all branches of medicine. And again, the brand named most was Camel. Yes, according to these nationwide surveys, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Friends, smoke the cigarette so many doctors enjoy. Change to Camels for 30 days and see how mild, how flavorful, how enjoyable a cigarette can be. Yes, change to Camels for 30 days and you'll stay with Camels from then on.
How mild can a cigarette be? Make the Camel 30-day test and you'll see.
And now, back to Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
I I left the office and went down to 57th Street in the Blue Pheasant, where I told the bartender who I was, and he handed me the package Simpson had wanted me to pick up for him. I drove back out to the house on Long Island. The maid let me in, and Mrs. Simpson met me at the study door.
Hello.
Well, hi. Where's your husband?
Oh, I think he's still in the study. He was a little while ago.
You going out?
Some shopping. You're staying for dinner.
Where's your stepson?
Ralph went out just after you left. Did you want him for something?
No. Just wondered.
Been shopping?
Oh, this is a package for your husband. He wanted me to pick it up.
Dinner's at 7.
Mrs. Simpson.
Yes?
Professor Fisher.
What about him?
How long have you known him?
Since I've been married to John.
Your husband said he was helping him to relax.
Yes. Is there something wrong?
I don't know. I talked to your husband earlier when he asked me to pick up this package. He sounded rather strange, kept repeating himself.
Since he had a stroke, he does that sometimes.
Well, shouldn't he have a nurse?
He should, but he won't. If something should happen, Professor Fisher's number is in the book on John's desk. I'll call the maid.
I'll see you at dinner.
Bye.
Well, hello, Mr. Simpson. I've got the package.
Give me the package.
Mr. Simpson.
Give me the package.
Are you feeling all right?
Give me the package.
Well, okay, here. Oh, I did some checking on your story about a shanty, and I...
Give me the package.
You've got it. Mr. Simpson. Hey, what's wrong? Mr. Simpson, did you hear me? Oh, I better get the maid. The maid! Maid!
Mr. Diamond?
Yeah, Ralph?
Yeah. What's wrong?
I don't know. Your father's acting... It felt like the whole building was coming down around my ears. Ralph and I were thrown back against the wall, and by the time we got up, the study was a smoking black hole.
Dad! Dad!
I stumbled in after Ralph, but there wasn't much to stumble in after. John Simpson had been blown to kingdom come.
You're sure it was Simpson on the phone?
Sure, I'm sure it was Simpson on the phone, Walt.
He asked you to pick up the package.
That's right. He wanted it when I brought it in to him. He wouldn't say anything else. He just demanded that package.
He'd been pretty sick, hadn't he?
Yeah, but a man doesn't go to that much trouble to commit suicide.
No. Well, maybe somebody planted the bomb.
Look, let's check with that bartender at the Blue Pheasant.
Yeah, I want to talk to the rest of the family first.
By the way, what did you find out about them?
No police records. Can't find out much about the professor. He has no practice, no license in the state.
I'll see if he can find out something.
Interested?
Yeah. It's funny when a man has a heart condition and won't have a doctor.
I'll drag the professor in if you like.
No. You go talk to the family. I'll go over and check for the bartender.
Wait a minute, Sherlock. You better tell me how you got into this mess.
Okay, Fatty. Guess it won't hurt now. I told Walt everything the late Mr. Simpson had told me, then headed back to town in the Blue Pheasant on 57th Street. By the time I got there, the place was pretty well filled, but the bartender who had given me the package that afternoon wasn't in sight.
Yeah, Willoughby.
Where's the bartender who was working this afternoon?
How do I know? He just works in the afternoon.
Where does he live?
Why?
Well, I'm collecting addresses of bartenders. Now, where does he live?
You collect addresses. I collect wise guys. So beat it. Mm-hmm.
You mean I got to show my little old badge?
Your little old badge? Well, when you say so.
Complex.
He lives at 500 West 157th Street.
What's his name?
Earl. Earl Collins. No relation to Tom. Yeah. No relation to Tom. Well, what are you going to do?
I piled out of the bar and back in the car. Drove across town to 157th Street and 500 West. It was a big apartment house, and Earl Collins was registered in 405. I climbed the stairs and knocked. Gave him a few minutes while I knocked my knuckles loose. Then went and dug up the landlady to have her open the door. She was a charmer, about 4 years older than Grant's tomb, with a gin disposition that would make a lost weekend seem like a Miami vacation. The type that should never have been dug up.
Look, honey, I got cleaning to do.
Sweetheart.
Sweetheart.
Oh, an expression of fond endearment.
Look, Buster, don't give me no words longer than one syllable.
Cop.
Will you?
Yes, Mother.
Mother. Sweetheart. Some cop.
We'll discuss my qualifications as soon as you open that door.
Okay. Sweetheart. There you are. Holy.
You said it.
Is he dead?
As dead as he can get. Still warm.
I'm not interested. I need a drink.
Did you see him come in?
No.
Did you see anybody else come in?
I've been in my apartment all afternoon. I'm going back there.
Killer used something awfully sharp. Neat job.
Neat? What are you looking at?
What's that other room?
Hi, what's wrong?
Keep it quiet. What's that room?
Oh, good gosh, bedroom.
Any other rooms?
Hi.
Answer me.
Bathroom.
Fire escape?
Huh?
Where is it?
End of the hall.
Look, there's some blood leading to that bedroom.
Oh.
Now, shh, take it easy. Go downstairs and call Lieutenant Walter Levinson.
Oh, Lieutenant Levinson.
Walter Levinson.
Oh, goodbye.
At the 5th Precinct.
5th Precinct, how are you?
There were several drops of blood leading to the bedroom door. There was a good chance that the killer had been surprised and couldn't get out. I went to the door and tried it as quietly as I could. It gave, and I kicked it open. The shades were down, and the room was dark enough to make it difficult to spot anyone. I moved in with my gun in front of me. He was standing right by the door, and he had a knife. Drop it.
No.
You should have listened.
Didn't want to.
Sorry, Professor.
Don't be. It's better this way.
Now look, you're in bad shape. You better tell me about it. You fired the shot in the garden and sent the letter?
Yeah. Help me sit up.
Okay. Yeah. Lean against the wall.
There you go.
Well, I still can't figure why Simpson had me pick up that bomb.
I made him.
You did?
I've been treating him for nerves. I started giving him a hypnotic when he had his first spells. During one of those times, he reenacted the Ashanti affair.
So you decided to blackmail him?
At first. Then when you took the case, we decided to eliminate him.
We?
Mrs. Simpson and I have been... Didn't get much time. Internal bleeding.
Police will be here pretty quick.
Decided to kill the old man, and Jane would get the estate. I thought you'd be blown up with him.
Mr. Simpson was under some sort of influence when I walked into the study.
My profession. After you left, I returned and talked him into a deep sleep. I had him call you at your office. He nearly messed it up.
Hypnosis.
Nothing unusual. Simple suggestions.
And when I walked into the study...
He'd been ordered to ask for the package and open it.
You mean he was asleep when I walked in?
Yes, you see. It's too late. You'll have to guess the rest. Bleeding in.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you better lie down again, Professor. You'll have to get used to it.
Why did he kill the bartender?
Well, Walt checked, and the professor had been coming into the bar for some time in the afternoons. He made friends with Earl, the bartender, and left the package with him. When he found out I hadn't been killed in the blast, he killed Earl to keep him from identifying him.
Ooh, charming.
Yep, like an asylum in an earthquake.
Well, I told you to stick to redheads.
Oh, really? Well, you know any available ones?
One.
How available?
You'll have to do some extensive research.
Okay.
After dinner.
I do not do any research on a schedule.
Don't you want any dinner?
Well, sure.
Will it get cold?
Let it.
Rick.
What?
I'm hungry.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
You sing something while I go put the food on a tray and we can eat in here by the fire.
You're going to get fat and sassy.
Rick.
I take it back. You're already sassy.
You sing something. I'll be right back.
I'll be right back. Gotta sing for everything. Oh, deedle doo 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 doo.
That's nice.
Just get the food, huh?
Just sing, huh?
I think of you with every breath I take.
and every breath becomes a sigh. Not a sigh of despair, but a sign that I care for you. I hear your name with every breath I take, on every breeze that wanders by. And your name is a song I'll remember the long years through. Even though I walk alone, you guide me. In the darkness, you light my way. And all the while inside me, love seems to say, someday, someday. And when I sleep, you keep my heart awake. But when I wake from dreams divine, every breath that I take is a prayer that I'll make you mine.
Rick.
Hmm?
Is there really anything to this hypnosis?
Well, there sure is. The old professor made Simpson open that package.
Is it hard to do?
Ah, look, I'll show you. Just sit right there.
Rick, I...
It's all right. Just look me right in the eye.
All right.
You're going to sleep. You're going to sleep. You just want to go to sleep. Nothing makes any difference. Just sleep. Sleep. Sleep.
Rick.
Shh. Deep, deep sleep. A deep, sharp, peaceful...
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Dick Powell will return in just a minute. To find out how well camels agree with the throats of smokers, this far-reaching test was made. Hundreds of people from coast to coast, people with normal throats, smoked only camels for 30 days. Each week, leading throat specialists examined the throats of these smokers. They made 2,470 examinations and reported not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking camels. Try camels for 30 days and see how mild, how flavorful, how enjoyable a cigarette can be.
How mild, how mild, how mild can a cigarette be? Smoke camels and see.
Here's Dick Powell with a special message.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of camels have sent more than 198 million gift camels to our armed forces. This week, gift camels go to hospitalized servicemen and veterans at Veterans Hospitals, Framingham, Massachusetts, and Durban, Michigan, U.S. Naval Hospital, San Diego, California, and to all hospitals operated for the U.S. Air Forces in the Far East. Now, until next week, enjoy camel. I always do.
Tonight's transcribed adventure of Richard Diamond was written and directed by Blake Edwards with music by Frank Worth. Virginia Gregg played the part of Helen Asher and Alan Reed was Lieutenant Levinson. Others in the cast were Gene Bates, Herbert Butterfield, and Tony Michaels. Be sure to listen to another great Camel show, Vaughn Monroe and the Camel Caravan, every Saturday night.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city. For under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is The Lineup.
Mr. Kramer.
Suit yourself.
All right. Well, what's wrong with right here? I
sure won't need no ringside seat to peg that dame again.
Boy, was she burned up. The minute she climbed to my cab, I could tell.
She certainly wasn't mad when I saw her. She was scared.
Scared, stiff.
Well, that was about 45 minutes later, Mr. Kramer, when she went in your drugstore.
Yeah, and it can happen in 45 minutes.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Greb, Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, then name and charge. If you have any questions or identification, call off the number. If you're sure or not too sure of the suspect, have her held. The officers who took your name will assist you. They're seated among you.
But you're going to get some
papers
up there. Please,
your questions or identification. When the prisoners leave here, the matron takes them back to the bathroom where they dress back into their jail clothes. It makes it quite difficult to bring them back after they leave here. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice. So do not pay too much attention to their answers as they often lie. Bring on the line. All right, girls. All right, this way. Move on over to the end of the stage. That's it. Now turn around and face front. Hands to your side. You, hands to your side. Now look straight ahead. Number one, Georgina Kelso, theft. Ever been arrested before, Georgina?
I've been arrested before.
Where were you when the officer arrested you, Georgina?
He was no officer. It was just a spy.
What were you wearing when you tried to leave the store?
A dress.
What else?
Three other dresses underneath.
Number two, Colleen Hodges, assault. Where do you live?
That's a good question.
Where did you used to live, Colleen?
414 Front Street, third floor.
Why did you beat up your landlady?
We didn't get along.
Number three, Margaret Kenline, open charge. How long have you been in town, Margaret?
About 8 years.
Where are you from?
That's her, Lieutenant. That's the one.
Colorado.
What do you say, Mr.
Have
Graham?
You ever been arrested?
It's the girl, all right. No doubt about it.
Sergeant Graham?
Yes, Lieutenant.
Hold number three for interrogation.
In here, Margaret. Say, Ben, I'll be down in communications if you want me. We're letting a couple of them go. Nobody identified them. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, here. Here's those cigarettes you wanted.
Oh, thanks, Ben. Sit down, Miss Kenline.
Thank you.
I'm Lieutenant Ben Guthrie. Do you like one of these?
Thanks.
Now, Miss Kenline, how long were you engaged to Larry Zimmerman?
Lieutenant Guthrie, I... About 4 months.
4 months. The cab driver who took you to Zimmerman's place at 5 this afternoon said you were angry.
I was.
At Zimmerman?
Yes. I guess it's an old story until it happens to you. I found out this afternoon that Larry had been seeing another woman. It's been going on for weeks, right under my nose. I was humiliated and hurt. Well, when I found out, I went to his apartment to really read him off good.
Mm-hmm. Now, who is this other woman? You know her?
Her name is Edith DeLoca. Lieutenant Guthrie, I didn't kill Larry. I didn't do it.
You have a business here in town, haven't you, Miss Kenline?
Yes.
A dress shop, isn't it? Run it alone?
No, I have a partner, Mr. Steves. Lord Steves.
I see. How's it going?
All right. Good. We're having a style show downtown tonight. Lord's taking care of it.
Mm-hmm. You stopped in a drugstore at 5:45 tonight on the corner opposite Larry's apartment house. The druggist noticed you because you were frightened.
I explained that once.
Well, explain it to me, please.
Larry's apartment was unlocked. I went in and found him in the bedroom. He'd been stabbed.
But why did that take you 45 minutes?
I don't know. I didn't realize it did. I was dazed, I guess.
I should think you would have been. By the way, who is Rifkin?
Rifkin? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Miss Kenline. Thanks. I guess that's it. The coroner says Larry Zimmerman died just about 5 o'clock.
Lieutenant Guthrie, may I call a lawyer?
Well, sure, if you want to. But I don't believe it's necessary, Miss Kenline. I think we're going to turn you loose. Matt, close the window and sit down, will you? You're making me nervous.
Oh, I'd be nervous if I were you, all right. I'd be good and nervous.
Close the window, huh?
I don't understand it, that's all. I just don't understand.
Understand what?
Why you let her go, that Kenline girl?
I told you she's being followed. I put Peters on her.
Yeah, but even so...
Well, we couldn't have held her anyway, not for long. Besides, there's a couple of other items, Matt. That manila envelope they found up there with the name Rifkin on it, for one. Ripped open and empty. If we knew what had been in it...
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then, Matt, from the looks of the bedroom, Zimmerman put up quite a struggle for the boy, say. More than you'd expect if he was fighting with a woman.
Even a jealous one, mad enough to kill him?
I don't know, Ben. Well, come on, Matt. Let's go out there and have a look.
Evening,
Lieutenant.
Hi, sir.
Hello, Becker.
How goes it, Becker?
Okay. That wagon just left. Must be about cleaned up. Sergeant Mayo's inside there.
Come on.
Come on,
man.
Yeah, thank you,
boy.
I know.
Mayo.
Yeah. Oh, hiya, Ben, mate.
Hi.
We're just about through, nothing much. Everything in the place is loaded with prints.
Huh?
Except the handle of the knife.
Where's the bedroom?
That door there. Over the way, Ben, here's something.
An earring. Where'd this come from?
Yeah, it was tangled up in the rug under the body.
Oh, let's see it.
I'm not much of a jeweler, but I can recognize the real thing, and that's it, all right. A topaz. Pay the rent for a few months.
You say you found this earring in the rug under the body?
Excuse me, sir, but...
Sergeant Mayo, that guy's back again. Same guy in the gray Homburg hat. Just went past down the hall.
Now, what guy is this?
Oh, some character that's been kind of hanging around for the last half hour. I guess that's...
Yeah, never mind, Mayo. We'll talk to him. Where'd he go, Becker?
Down the hall to your left there, Lieutenant. There's a lounge down that way.
All right.
Better get another one from right here. All right. I'll take
good.
It.
That's good.
Uh-huh. That must be the guy there, Ben.
Yeah.
Well, good evening.
Hmm? Oh, how are you?
You live here in the building?
No.
We're from the police department. I'm Lieutenant Guthrie. This is Sergeant Graham.
Oh, how do you know?
You waiting for someone, Mr. Rifkin?
I have to give you credit, Lieutenant.
That initial on your tie bar helped. There's been some trouble down the hall, Mr. Zimmerman's apartment.
Yeah, so I noticed.
You seem pretty interested in it, Mr. Rifkin.
Well, you had my name, Sergeant, so maybe you know why I'm interested.
No, we don't. Why are you?
Zimmerman owed me some money, Lieutenant. I expect it to be paid tonight, close to $25,000.
That's quite a debt.
And it was my money in the first place. No profit.
I don't follow you.
He was a broker, investments. I placed that money with him to be invested. Then I found out he was trimmed on his last deal. He took an awful beating. I told him I was pulling my money out before it went, too. Told him that this morning on the phone. Well, he didn't like it, but I... Well, he said he'd have it for me tonight.
Zimmerman's been murdered. I guess you figured that.
Yes, but... How did you get my name? Do you mind?
No. We found it on a manila envelope in his bedroom.
Oh, and the money? Well, what about...
The envelope had been opened. It was empty.
What? That money's gone? Robbed, huh?
Looks that way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it looks. Well, I guess that takes care of that.
Huh? Just a minute. Where do you live, Mr. Rifkin? We may want to get in touch with you.
Oh, sure. I hope so. The Beekman Plaza, room 220. The first name's Walter.
Room 220.
Okay.
Well, smoke, Ben?
Uh-huh, thanks.
You've got to get back to the lineup, don't you, man?
Well, pretty soon. You coming?
No. And let me have that earring, Matt.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up a lady.
Who are you?
Police Department, Lieutenant Ben Guthrie.
Oh. Well, I'm still glad to know you, Ben.
I want to talk to you for a minute, if I may.
Right now? I'm in a big hurry, Ben. I got a day.
It's important, Mr. Roker. About Larry Zimmerman's death.
Oh. I already heard about that. Poor Larry.
You don't seem too broken up, Edith.
You think it'll help any?
No. You're not wearing your earrings, Edith.
Hmm?
Uh-huh. The pinch mark shows.
That's why I'm not wearing them. They pinched, so I took them off. Hey, look, am I under arrest or something?
No.
Then I would've gotta run along. Look, I'll be back about midnight. Then we can go inside and be comfortable and talk about anything you want for as long as you want. That is, if you care to wait, Lieutenant.
I might just do that, Mr. Roker. We'll see. That dress shop on the corner must be the one.
Yeah. How come the lights are still on?
Well, they had a style show. Spee's the partner in it.
Hey, stop here, Becker.
Yes, sir.
And
I'm waiting the car for us.
Come on, man.
Right.
Must be in the back. Oh, here he comes.
Mr. Spees, open the door. We're police.
Police? Look in, please.
Thank you. I'm Lieutenant Guthrie. This is Sergeant Greb, Mr. Spees.
Well, how do you do?
Hello.
How do you do?
I suppose you've heard about Larry Zimmerman?
Yes. Yes, I have. It's a terrible thing. Margaret, Miss Kinline, told me. In fact, she just called me from her place not 5 minutes ago. She's frightened. She thinks she's being followed.
Yeah, I know. There's nothing to be worried about, Mr. Spees. It's a plainclothes officer.
An officer? Oh, I see.
Mr. Spees, we'd like to know how Miss Kinline got acquainted with Larry Zimmerman.
Well, as a matter of fact, it was through me. Yes, Larry and I are quite good friends. We lived next door to each other, for over a year.
Do you know much about his business, Mr. Spees? How he made his living?
Well, no, not much. Actually, he was sort of an adventurer, really. Quite a successful one, I always thought. Very clever with money, investments, and so. A gambler, in a sense.
In the market, you mean?
Oh, yes. I always counted my pennies and envied the nerve Larry had to plunge.
Mr. Spees, do you happen to know if Miss Kinline had topaz earrings? We found one at Zimmerman's place.
Oh, forgive me, Lieutenant Guthrie, but I really believe we should try to get in touch with Margaret, Miss Kinline. You see, I told her if she was afraid to stay home, she should leave and go to my place. That's Monroe Avenue, 4111. Now, I'd planned on leaving...
All right, maybe you're right. What's her number?
Oh, it's Abby, 2344. On the phone's right there. Yes, that's right. Well, she's really quite upset, you know, Sergeant. She's got me worried, too, you know. Anything should happen tomorrow, I just don't know what I'd do, really.
Yes, yes. I can appreciate how you feel.
No answer, Ben?
She must have already left.
No answer. Hello?
Hello. Hello. Who's it?
Peters?
Yeah.
This is Lieutenant Guthrie.
Oh, I lost her, Lieutenant. She's gone. I was slugged. A man. A man in a gray hat. A Homburg.
Tomorrow night, four more amateur songwriters will bring their new compositions to Jan Murray on Songs for Sale on CBS, and one will have his song chosen for nationwide publication and plugging. Among these contestants is a retired Army colonel whose West Point classmates numbered Marshall and MacArthur. Another will be a girl who was on the United States Olympic gymnastic team. The third is a theater usher, and the fourth, well, the fourth entry is a husband and wife team from Alabama. Songs for Sale brings you an hour of bright new music and bright new merriment by Jan Murray. Be listening for Songs for Sale tomorrow night on most of these same CBS stations.
Phony, all right, Ben.
Walter Ripken hasn't lived in the Beekman Plaza in 5 years. But we dug up a home address on him and an office set up downtown.
Yeah, well?
Oh, nothing, Ben. The office was just a bunch of stockbroker's catalogs and a wastebasket full of scribbled figures. Nothing more.
And the house?
Mrs. Ripken and two cats. Says she hasn't seen husband Walter in a week. And I don't think she cares if she ever sees him. Well, how'd you make out?
Ripken's never been arrested. There's not a line on him in the files.
So?
So I'm stupid.
Nah, now easy.
I should have played it your way, Matt. Should have kept Margaret Kenline under arrest and locked up Walter Rifkin just to keep her company.
Maybe, but you didn't, Ben, so let's take it from there.
Yeah, might as well. Man, look. One, Larry Zimmerman was killed.
Two, Margaret Kenline could have killed him.
I don't think so.
Why not? Soft face, soft voice, Ben.
No. Walter Rifkin. Matt, if Margaret Kenline did kill Zimmerman, why did Rifkin go after her? The missing 25 grand, maybe?
Well, that's a good reason, Ben. That's a lot of dough.
Yeah, I guess it is. Hello? Who? Oh, yeah, put him on, Sergeant. Manny Pomeroy, Matt. This'll cost us a little, but it might be worth it. I talked to him about Rifkin earlier tonight. Yeah, hello, Manny. Oh, fine, thanks. Yeah? Well, what did you find out? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, sure it can be important. A blonde, huh? Edith, somebody? Edith, you sure? Okay, just checking. Yeah, but sure. Sure it's a help, Manny, sure. Well, come around in the morning, will you? Yeah. So long.
Good news, Ben?
Yeah. Pomeroy says that Rifkin has a girlfriend in town, a blonde, an Edith somebody.
Edith DeRocca, Ben?
Yeah, Edith DeRocca. The reason Larry Zimmerman tossed Margaret over. But this is a new angle, Matt. Edith tying into Rifkin. You want to come along? It's the Marlboro Hotel.
Well, I can't right away, Ben. I got to run a late lineup for the narcotics board.
Okay, look for you later, Matt.
Again. Hey, I thought you guys worked in shifts.
I'd like to talk to you, Mr. Roker.
I'm too tired. I still got to put my hair up.
Mr. Roker, were you at Walter Rifkin's apartment tonight? Since I saw you, I mean.
No.
You sure?
I'm positive.
You weren't in the neighborhood?
I wasn't within a mile of a neighborhood.
One of my men says different.
Then tell him to ask for a pension. He's going blind.
Now look, Mr. Roker.
You look, Mr. Cop. When I left here, I went to the Broadmoor Bar and Grill. I never moved out of it until I came back here. And just in case you don't get around much, the Broadmoor is on Lancaster and East 39th, a couple of fat miles from East 60th and Chelsea. Know anything else, Ben? If so, get a warrant and arrest me, huh? I'm very tired.
Lieutenant, the next corner is 60th and Chelsea. A garage, a vacant lot, a duplex, and an apartment house.
Okay, Becky, wait here. Sergeant Greb and I'll try the apartment house first. That should be it. Come on, man.
Yeah. Say, Ben.
Huh?
That Edith DeRocca, do you think she'd tip off Lipkin?
I sure do. But I had the hotel desk refuse her an outside line if she asked for one, and I called in for a squad car to pick her up. She won't be in the way. Well, we'll see if this is it. Mailboxes are over there.
Wait, Ben.
Hmm?
There's an elevator boy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, can I help you, gentlemen?
We're from the police department. Does Mr. Walter Rifkin have an apartment here?
Yes, sir. It certainly does. 3D. Oh, yeah. Guess you don't want to be announced, though, huh?
Why do you guess that? Been any trouble?
Oh, not exactly trouble.
Then what happened, son?
Oh, nothing much. It was just a girl. I think he called her Margaret. Maybe it was Margie. Anyhow, she ran out of here a little while ago. Came down the steps and got in a cab outside.
Mr. Rifkin was after her?
He sure was. But she got away. Rifkin went back upstairs.
And when was this?
Oh, about 10 minutes ago. You want to go up?
I think we'd better.
There you are. Bet you fellas go out on plenty of strange cases, huh? At all hours. I mean... Third floor. To your right.
Thanks. Go on back downstairs, son.
Yes, sir.
Cover me, man. Right.
Who is it?
The police, Mr. Rifkin. Lieutenant Guthrie.
Well, Lieutenant, what brings you here?
Mr. Roker was very helpful, Mr. Rifkin.
Edith.
She said she didn't want to be mixed up in a murder, Mr. Rifkin.
May we come in?
Why, sure, why not? I've nothing to hide. Come in, gentlemen. Living room straight ahead.
This is far enough, Mr. Rifkin.
What?
The lieutenant means that pocketbook on the table there.
Oh, that. Well, it's...
Don't waste a lot of time, Mr. Rifkin. The pocketbook isn't that important. We know what happened. The elevator boy told us about Margaret Kenline running out of here. The police officer you sapped at Miss Kenline's apartment got a good look at you first.
Now, look, Lieutenant, what I told you before was the...
Not all of it. You didn't tell us about Edith DeRocca being your girlfriend.
How does she fit in?
Well, we were working together. I wanted Larry Zimmerman's files, his contacts, names, and numbers. I wanted the inside track that he had. I'd know what to do with it. Getting all that was Edith's job.
What about Margaret Kenline? Why did you bring her up here?
Because I think she killed Zimmerman, and whoever killed Zimmerman must have gotten the money that was supposed to be returned to me.
Did you find it on her?
No. She got away from me before I could search her.
You've looked through her purse there?
Looked 10 times. It's not there. But what is there, Lieutenant, convinced me. I've got the right party.
What do you mean? Hand me the purse, man.
I mean that I found a receipt in that pocketbook for a pair of earrings. A pair of topaz earrings.
What do you know about that?
All I know is what I heard a cop say over at Zimmerman's place. That one topaz earring was found on the rug under the body, right?
Yeah. Let's see what's in it.
Yeah, compact, lipstick, wallet, pack of lifesavers, another lipstick, and a receipt. Made out to Miss Margaret Kenline for one pair of topaz earrings.
Mm, soft face, soft voice, that man. My mistake. Mr. Rifkin. Does Margaret Kenline know that you've seen this receipt?
No, I didn't go through her stuff until after she ran.
Good. Maybe she didn't run too far, then.
Yeah, her partner's place, Lloyd Spees, Monroe Avenue, 4111.
Say, if you find her and she still has my money, I'll get it.
Probably, Mr. Rifkin. But exactly what you'll do with it for a while, I don't know.
What do you mean?
The lieutenant means that you're under arrest for assaulting an officer, among other things. Oh, Ben, do you want to have a second look at any of this stuff?
No, I don't think so. Receipt's enough for me, Matt. I'm so... Hey, Matt.
Hmm?
Look at this.
What, the receipt again?
Yeah. Read it carefully, Matt. Then take Mr. Rifkin in, will you? I'll see you at the morning lineup.
Lieutenant Guthrie, I didn't expect to see you again tonight. Well, come in.
Thanks. Mr. Spees, has Margaret been here?
Why, no, she had. Well, not tonight. I mean, you care for a drink, Lieutenant?
Spees.
Yes, Lieutenant?
She was here, wasn't she?
Oh, no. She... Oh, well, what difference does it make? Yes, she was here about 20 minutes ago. She killed Larry, Lieutenant.
She said that?
Yes, when I mentioned the earring that you said was found in Zimmerman's apartment, she stopped trying to hide things. She admitted everything. Wasn't very nice to hear.
Jealousy was her motive, huh? I'll take that drink now, Mr. Spees.
Yes, it was jealousy, Lieutenant.
Uh-huh. And when she left, she give you any idea where she was heading?
No, she didn't, Lieutenant. No place at all is what she said when I asked her. What are you looking for, Lieutenant?
No place at all could be suicide, Spees.
I know, but she's a murderess, Lieutenant. I didn't try to stop her. Should I have?
Could you have?
Stopped her?
Stopped her? And turned her over to me? Could you have done that, Spees?
Well, of course, I suppose so. Why not, Lieutenant?
For one good reason. Your life, Spees. You see, I think you murdered Larry Zimmerman.
Me? Oh, no, it was Margaret. I told you that.
Yes, I know, but I don't believe you. I even think Margaret's still here, someplace in this house. You haven't had time to take her no place at all.
Yes, but the earrings, aren't they important? Don't they count?
Sure they do, sure. More than anything else. More than you know. I have the receipt for those earrings.
Yes, a receipt made out to Margaret, is that right?
Right, to Margaret. For a pair of topaz earrings, which she rented.
Rented?
Mm-hmm. For one of the models in tonight's fashion show, no doubt. The fashion show, Spees, that you ran because Margaret wasn't going and you were. So it was you who had the earrings, not Margaret. And you who dropped one of them at Larry Zimmerman's. Again, not Margaret. Now, where is she, Spees?
I don't know. She isn't here, I don't. The thing away from that door.
She in the bedroom? Is she in the bedroom?
Yes. Yes, she's tied up. But she's all right. I wasn't going to do anything until later.
I had to kill Zimmerman.
Why, Spees? Did you invest with him, too?
Yes, it was only $2,000, but that was everything I had in the world. When he told me I'd lost my money, I just went out of my mind. You know the rest.
Yes. And Walter Ripken's money, the $25,000 that was in the envelope. You have it?
Yes. It's inside. Lieutenant, I wish I'd never met Larry Zimmerman. How I wish I'd never heard of you.
The lineup. For before you pass the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. Listen again next week when we again bring you The Lineup.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Greb, Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name and charge. If you have any questions or identification, call out the number. If you're sure or not too sure, you can have it. Now, Mr. Hooker, your name?
The Lineup, starring William Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie and Wally Mayer as Sergeant Matt Greb, was written by Gene Lovett and Robert Mitchell, with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were John Stevenson, Ken Christie, Gene Bates, Irene Winston, Sidney Miller, Howard McNear, and Eddie Firestone. The Lineup is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle. Every Friday night on most of these same stations, you'll find two of CBS's most thrilling dramatic programs, Up for Parole and Broadway's My Beat. Up for Parole brings you hard-hitting, factual stories of men and women behind bars who are seeking another chance to live in human society. Broadway's My Beat brings you the adventures of Danny Clover, a plainclothesman along the Great White Way. Up for Parole and Broadway's My Beat are heard every Friday on CBS. Be listening, won't you? CBS, the Star's Address, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's it for this episode of Case Closed. I'll be back next Wednesday with more. Find past episodes of this show, more from The Lineup, more from Richard Diamond, more old-time radio in general at RelicRadio.com. You'll also find links to our forum, Shoutcast stream, and everything else Relic Radio. If you'd like to help support this show, you can do so from the website as well. Click on that donate button. Thank you very much to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you next week with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.